It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Miss Neva Pyatt is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is my spirit dad, Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd.
How are you
ding,
doing?
Ding, ding, ding. Coming out of the corner. Oh, right. What it sounded like. We're ready to beat the devil up today, aren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we're ready to
roll. We'll share some truth that'll beat him up.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that three ways. You can send it to us by email, hourofpower32@gmail.com, or you can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City, Oklahoma. I think I covered it all, sir. Would you please pray to start us out this morning?
I will. Gracious Heavenly Father, this morning we want to thank you for this day. As always, this is the day that you have made, and we rejoice. We're glad in it, Father. We don't know what all you have laid up for us today, but because we know you, we know it's going to be good. Father, we know there may be some unexpected things come our way, but nothing is going to surprise you today. And so we're just thankful. We're thankful for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. We're thankful that there's not a situation that any of us can ever face that your grace is not sufficient for. So we entrust ourselves to you today. Father, we pray that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive, truth that brings freedom. Jesus said, when we know the truth, it'll set us free. And so, Father, we are looking for that freedom. We believe you want us to have it today, and we speak blessing over our listeners, blessing over those who sponsor this ministry and make it possible. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So your title this morning is Unshakable.
Unshakable. We're not talking about me jogging. That would be most shakable, whatever. No, I don't know. I'm not going to try. I'm just not even going to try it this morning, go jogging. But unshakable. I want you to open up your Bible, if you would. I'll give you a little introduction in a minute. But Mark chapter 5. And before we really get into God's Word, I want to encourage you, if you're listening to us this morning live, go encourage someone to join you. Take a moment right now and shoot somebody a text or call them, reach out to them, holler at them, whatever the case may be, because I believe that the Word that God's got for us today is going to be encouraging to you. It's going to be encouraging to me and to those of us here in the room. We need to hear this. We need to be reminded of the goodness of God, and that Neva's heard me say this many, many times. This does, whatever this is, this doesn't surprise God. And when you know that, you lock in on that, you go, man, if God's not shakable, then I don't have to be shakable either. So that's why we titled it this morning, Unshakable. When I turn in the Bible to Mark chapter 5, of course, it's all good stuff, but I'm going to start in a minute here in verse 21. And I just want to point out, your Bible might be different than mine, but right above verse 21 in mine, in the italicized little heading that people put in there, it's not part of Scripture, it's just something to help us find things. Mine says this, it says, a dead girl and a sick woman. I'm like, wow, that's really wonderful. Well, it will be. A dead girl and a sick woman. Now, if that doesn't give you an opportunity, now you think about it in your own life. What if all of a sudden in your family or in your circle of influence, your friends, today's captions, the headlines above your life says, a dead girl and a sick woman. You'd be like, oh, man, you know, this is not cool. This is not, it's rough. This is bad. Let's read the Word of God together. When Jesus had again crossed over, again we're in Mark chapter 5, verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. And then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet. Now, this is a synagogue ruler. This is one of those people that a lot of times Jesus was butting heads with, but not this guy and not this time. Because I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of people that at times they may butt heads with the things of God. They may not go along, but you let a crisis come along, and it's amazing how much people tend to want to respond to God. I'm going to be honest. It really shouldn't be that way, but that's human nature. It's human nature to kind of have foxhole faith or crisis Christianity. Can't tell you how many times that I couldn't pay people to come to church. Couldn't get them there if I paid them. But you let a situation come into their life that just is way beyond their ability to do anything about it, and watch them start calling out to God. Now, I'm not here to condemn people today, and I'm not condemning you if that's the way you've lived. But I do want to tell you there's a far better way to live than that. And that's to live in this place where no matter what comes into your life, even if it might stir you up, it doesn't have to shake you up. There are times I think we need to get stirred up. I think there are times where we're going along and life is, if life was a pond that's nice and flat, nothing's going on. And once in a while, I'm going to be straight up honest, we need a good storm to remind us that Jesus gave his peace and we can calm that storm. Or if the storm just won't calm, Jesus is with us in the boat and we don't have to worry. So Jesus crossed over and a synagogue ruler named Jairus comes in. He falls at Jesus' feet and he pleads earnestly. He pleads, he begs. He said, "My little daughter is dying. Please come put your hands on her so she'll be healed and live." Now, I love that statement of faith. I love that statement of faith. He didn't say, "Oh, if there was anything you could do," you know, he just pleaded with Jesus and he said, "If you will come and put your hands on her, she will be healed. She will live." I love that kind of faith. So Jesus went with him. I mean, how would he not, right? You know, with that kind of a statement of faith, how would Jesus not? It says a large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. I don't know about you, but I've had a few health challenges in my life, but I personally have not experienced any of them that just lasted for 12 years. I mean, today I kind of slept wrong last night, and I got this issue in my shoulder, and it almost feels like my fingers are kind of numb. Yeah, don't sleep on your shoulder, preacher. You know, but I can assure you this, it's going to go away. I know it is. Her situation, she woke up day after day after day after day after day, 12 years, same situation, probably getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Let's watch what she tried to do about it. It says she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. That's suffering the treatments too. Sometimes the cure can be almost worse than the problem. And yet instead of getting better, they'd done everything they knew how to do. Instead of getting better, what does it say happened?
She grew worse.
She just kept getting worse. Kept getting worse. She's doing everything she knows how to do. The doctors are doing everything they know how to do, but she just keeps getting worse. But watch this. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, or the other gospel says, said to herself, "If I could but touch his clothes or his garment, I will be healed." I wonder where she got that idea from. Well, the Bible's pretty clear that this says she heard about Jesus. Let me ask you a question today, my Christian brothers and sisters. Are you talking about Jesus? Are you going through life Are you telling testimonies? I love Brother Casey Elliott. He loves mm-hmm. to post those testimony time again. I love those testimonies, yeah. You know. We had some pretty awesome healings in our church Sunday, didn't we, Monica?
Yeah.
Monica's jaw is one of those. Yeah, not popping and locking up no more. God is in the healing ministries. Jesus hasn't changed. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His position changed. He's no longer on earth. He's actually now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He released his Holy Spirit to us, which is the same Spirit by which Jesus operated in the miraculous. He said in John 14:12, whoever believes in me, they'll do the same works I've done and even greater works. So we shouldn't be surprised that Jesus is still healing today on earth through his body, the church, the believers, the born-again Christians. This woman heard about Jesus. I'm thinking, I wonder how different this story would be if she didn't hear about Jesus. I suppose it'd go this way. And there was a woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, suffered many, many things. The doctors grew worse and worse and worse and died. The end. That's not how this story goes. She had a situation that was beyond medical science's ability to help. They did everything. The Bible even goes on to say that she spent all that she had. It says she spent all of her money. So not only now is she sick, she's got this issue of the continuous flow of blood. She's got the physical condition. She's got a spiritual condition because by their Jewish law, she would be considered unclean. She couldn't go to the temple. She couldn't offer sacrifices. She had to remain distanced from people, even her family. In the book of Leviticus, it says that if she even sat on a bed, that then the bed sheets had to be washed in a certain way. I mean, it was just, they were really strict about this stuff. And it was in effort to prevent disease. But they didn't understand some of the things we understand today.